G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome to the longest running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. I hope you all went out and enjoyed local pro wrestling this past weekend. If you're in Melbourne, I really hope you checked out MCW, both MCW and Wrestle Brunch before going to the WWE Super Showdown. I was at New Horizons. Unfortunately, I did not make it to Wrestle Brunch. I was a bit dusty the next day, and I'm not talking roads. Also, I want to thank everyone who came up to me and told me that they listen to the show and they enjoy it. Thank you very much for that, peoples. Really made me feel good about what we do here at Wrestle Radio Australia. And yeah, what a weekend. If you weren't at the shows, I don't have to tell you. Adam Brooks and Slex put on an absolute clinic, amazing match. Robbie Eagles and Mr. Juicy Gino Gambino, another absolute melter of a main event. Even the triple threat, JXT, Marcus Kuhl, and Mikey Broderick, brilliant match. Brilliant match. It was exactly what that card needed on that night to break up the really heavy work that was going on. It was one of the most entertaining matches I've seen in a long time. Marcus Kuhl, I want to try and get on the show and have a chat too, because he's so entertaining. I was such a big fan of him coming out of that show. What other big news do we have? Oh, Robbie Eagles. I'll just do it now. Why not? I actually caught up with Robbie Eagles earlier on tonight, or whenever you're listening to this, I guess. I caught up with Robbie Eagles anyway, and we talked about him being announced as Taji Ishimori's tag team partner in Firing Squad for the Bullet Club at the Super Juniors tournament, tag tournament. It's, if you don't know what the New Japan Super Juniors tournament, tag tournament's about, it's amazing. Talking the best light heavyweights from around the world, getting together in tag teams for a tournament, and amazing. And for an Australian to be there and on that card, and will be there for the whole of that tournament, absolutely amazing. I cannot wait to see Robbie Eagles in action there, and especially after seeing him absolutely wow the crowd at MCW. And so I caught up with Robbie Eagles right now here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Fresh from an amazing main event at MCW New Horizons, and then massive news about the Super Junior tags. Robbie Eagles, how are you, sir?
Mate, I'm pretty over the moon, but to be honest, I'm a little bit sick of being on my phone because it's blown up over the last, you know, 2-3 days.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, Bullet Club all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, mate.
Yeah, I guess it's out of nowhere for some, but there's obviously been, you know, thought behind this whole choice, and at the end of the day, it was Taji Ishimori's choice to pick me as his tag team partner, so I'm very excited to be a part of the BC.
Yeah, and what you're going over for the junior tag tournament, just explain to people at home just what that involves. That's like, was it four days?
It's actually almost 3 weeks.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I'll actually be in Japan from the 16th of October, and the finals are held at Power Struggle, which takes place on November 3rd, which is a huge event because it's already got some matches announced, like Evil versus Chris Jericho.
Yeah, that's amazing. What team, I suppose, are you looking forward to taking on the most? Because it is an absolute packed, as you would expect. It's New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's pretty much wrestling-wise the best promotion in the world. What team are you really can't wait to jump in the ring with?
Well, look, Todd, as a competitor, I mean, there's that fighting spirit in me, and I'd love to have matches against all of them. But at the same time, obviously, I'm going into this with a little bit of nerves because we're talking New Japan Pro Wrestling, and we're talking the best fighters from around the world in a tag team competition. Now, I'm no stranger to tag team wrestling, having held titles in the tag division before with partners such as Adam Brooks and partners such as Matt Diamond and I've had partners like Ryan Eagles and Mark Davis and all these great wrestlers of the past. So, I mean, me and Taji Ishimori have a very similar style. People that I'd like to see how I fare against, you know, I definitely am looking forward to going up against Roppongi 3K of Sho and Yo, because I think they're a very exciting tag team in New Japan. But I can't look past my first match. My first match has been announced. So next Tuesday, Korakuen Hall, the first night of my New Japan tour, I'm going up against Jushin Liger and Tiger Mask. And to me, that is utterly insane.
That's amazing. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's not a bad way to debut in New Japan proper, is it?
No, but I'm definitely going to be trying to get a win, because if I can pin Jushin Liger or Tiger Mask on my first night, mate, that's a good way to set myself up.
Yeah, and that's I expect that's the goal, is to sort of to make yourself a semi-permanent, if not permanent, roster member in New Japan off the back of this tournament, isn't it?
That's right. Like, I don't want to not come back. I don't want this to be a one-off shot. I don't want this to be, you know, a part-time tag team with Taiji Ishimori. I want to prove my worth to him and to the rest of the BCOGs and show them what I'm worth and show them that I'm a valued asset to the club.
Mm. Let's just go back quietly to MCW this past weekend. What a match, you and Gino Gambino. That must have been one of the best feelings you've had in front of a crowd. Not, I mean, of course you didn't come away with a win, but just the reactions from that crowd was amazing, wasn't it?
It was unbelievable, Todd. I've never heard almost all the voices in one room be in unison the way that they were, especially towards the final stretch of myself and Gino Gambino. And it warmed my heart a lot, because they were really behind me. And like I said, in unison, they came together as a collective, and everyone was sort of really wanting me to pull out the victory. And, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of the fans in attendance at Thornbury that night thought that I was actually the victor when I tapped out Gino Gambino. And there's no doubts about it. He did tap to the Ron Miller special. But Sebastian Walker is the reason why that wasn't the ending of the match.
Damned managers, I tell you.
Yeah, damn you people.
Hey, last time I was in the ring near you, I got dropkicked. So, I mean, you came out on top there.
Well, yeah, but you'd been annoying me beforehand, so you had it coming.
It's fair. It's a fair call.
Maybe that's my new thing, because I dropkicked Sebastian Walker as well.
I was waiting for it. I'm like, that's kind of his thing. So,
you know how Randy Orton was the legend killer? Yeah. Maybe I'm the manager killer. Kicker.
Jeez. So, with the whole New Japan thing, how long has this been sort of in the planning for? So, because I'm guessing to get ready for a tournament like this, they don't give you like a week's notice. Like, get ready, you're coming over.
Look, I can't go into the inner workings, because it came as much of a shock to me as it did to everyone else. Because I know that there was four names that were being chosen as the final four to be potential partners for Taiji Ishimori. So it was never really a sure thing.
Okay.
So when it was announced on, you know, this past Monday night when they had their latest event, King of Pro Wrestling, that's literally when it was confirmed to me.
I've been
preparing myself for this position leading up to that point, but I didn't know it was definitely going to be me. I thought in the back of my mind, I'm pretty sure I've got this down, but you know, there's three other people that I was competing with, and, you know, I'm not too sure who they were either, because they were keeping it pretty well under wraps.
Mm.
Could have been anyone. Could have been people that, you know, I look up to. But Taiji Ishimori saw something in me, and luckily enough, he and I spent some time together at PWG earlier this year, where we both made our debuts at Reseda, and I think that was enough for him to understand the potential and the talent that I have.
Mm. I've got to ask about, how did it feel after having that match, a pretty full-on match in MCW, having to pull up for Stevie Philippe the next morning for Wrestle Brunch. That had to be probably your shortest gap between matches.
Oh yeah, it felt like crap. I didn't get a ton of sleep the night before. Post MCW and then in between Wrestle Brunch. It was a pretty short amount of time turnaround when you look at it, because, you know, Wrestle Brunch was about midday. The wrestling started about 1:30. It wasn't that long, and considering the fact that, you know, I had a delayed flight into MCW, I didn't get to the building until almost 7:30.
Oh wow!
So, you know, pretty ridiculous for me.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, like after that match, you would have had just adrenaline out the wazoo. So trying to get to sleep so you could be ready for the next day would have been near on impossible.
Yeah, I pretty much stayed awake more or less. I just laid in a bed for several hours.
How was Stevie to work with? Because he is, what people are saying, one of the best up and coming young guys in the industry.
Stevie's great. I think with a bit more time, he's really going to know exactly where he needs to be in the ring and his full potential of what he can unleash between those ropes and outside of it. I think sometimes there's that little factor of hesitation from him, and I think that was seen at Wrestle Brunch in the match between he and I. You know, he was put off by the height of the roof, whereas I've dealt with that situation before.
Yeah.
So it's just an experience factor. But, mate, he's ridiculous. I think he's a star already. It's just that he hasn't hit his own personal potential. So it's not about people needing to know that he's great, because people already know that he's great. And I think, you know, he needs to get away from Tome, because I think Tome's a bad influence, and he and I have some beef that needs to be dealt with from MCW 100. But as was announced earlier today, I get to extract that revenge and also get a shot at Brian Cage's Impact Championship for World Series Wrestling in November. So
yeah, I was going to say
that. Today, this week's been pretty good for me.
Yeah, I'm going to New Japan and get a shot at an Impact title. You know, it's just an ordinary week for old Eagles.
Yeah, it's just a Wednesday, right?
Robbie, thank you very much for coming on for this just quick little chat. Best of luck for the Super Juniors. When you get back, I'd love to sit down with you again and talk to you about how the experience was for those couple of weeks. And best of luck on your journey, mate.
Thank you, Todd. And I think we're going to have to do the next one in person.
Yeah, for sure. I'll talk to people up here and we'll get you up here.
All right. Sounds great.
Awesome. Thank you, mate.
Thanks, Todd.
Yeah, I got to thank Robbie Heats for talking to me there. As you can imagine, he was probably being absolutely inundated with messages and phone calls and whatnot. And for him to be able to take time out to talk to me for just 10 minutes. And yeah, thank you so much for that, Robbie. And next time you're up, possibly in November, we'll catch up for an actual sit-down, face-to-face interview. And yes, best of luck at the Super Juniors, mate.
Also, can't believe I forgot Buddy Murphy, WWE Cruiserweight Champion. What a match. I'll go so far as to say show stealer of WWE Showdown, but I'm incredibly biased. Him and Adam Brooks winning the Intercommonwealth title in MCW. Two of the lads who I've got so much time for, especially Adam Brooks. Love him to death. To have the performance he had, to have the performance that Buddy had. Congratulations to both of those guys.
Our guest proper for this week is a very influential member of the Australian wrestling community and someone who is behind the scenes at Melbourne City Wrestling and really does shape what you see in that ring, and that is Jay Andrews. If you never saw him when he was a worker for MCW and Hardway Inc. with Mike Burr, really good worker. One of my favorite tag teams to watch in that era was Hardway Inc. And we caught up to talk all about that and everything that's going on in MCW at the moment, the whole structure of MCW and the MCW Academy, and that's right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. My guest for this episode is a kind of a departure from the normal guests I have on the program. He is a former wrestler, but he is now in one of the, well, more powerful positions, I guess, in Australian wrestling. He is the head of talent relations for MCW and also helps out at the new MCW Academy. Jay Andrews, how are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good, yourself?
Yeah, I'm very good, mate. I'm very good. First off, Hardway Inc., awesome tag team, and really set you a platform in wrestling, I guess. Why the decision to retire and to move into like the other phase of this career?
I get asked that a lot, actually, or do I miss it, you know, and I guess it's the same answer for both. Like, I'm like any wrestler, you sort of get a few niggles here and there, and, you know, I had a problem with my knee, I had torn my bicep not long before, like about a year before I sort of hung the boots up, so to speak, But really, when I did get injured, when I did tear my bicep, I was fortunate to just come back to MCW to do creative. And he needed help sort of with in-ring, you know, production, I guess you would call it, so producing the matches or agenting, as people sort of know it. And he sort of engaged me. And you know, it's really interesting because him and I come from so separate places in Victorian wrestling. Like when I was coming in, which was broken in 1999, when, you know, which is a long time ago. he was on the complete polar opposite side of the business down here. It was kind of split in two, and you had those old timers and Chris was sort of with that younger group of old timers. And then I was with the sort of the even younger group, you know, from PCW, was where I originally started, with Spike Steele and you know, guys like Mike Burr and others from down there. Even Slex was there as a kid when I was there. You know, he just engaged me out of the blue, and I sort of went, well, I don't know if we can work together. This is, you know, because it's kind of like the sort of feuding factions, you know, like a real life shooting faction. Anyway, he engaged me, and I sort of went, you know, like, you know what, I can't really do anything at the moment, so sure, I'll help out and just tell me what you want. So we went through what sort of he wanted, and we worked out what I would do. And basically, the story of it is that he writes the creative assistance from Mikey and I, but he's in charge of that, and I make sure that, you know, there's consistency and it happens in the ring, and the guys and girls know exactly what their format is and what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a short version. And that, when I started doing that, I kind of felt, you know, it's kind of cliche to say, but, you know, like I found my calling, I think, you know. Yeah. Like I feel like, you know, I was confident in the ring and I had fun, and, you know, in the early days, I really took it seriously, you know, back sort of in 2000, like in the, you know, 2008 and around there, I was really, really serious about wrestling as a singles competitor. When I came back for Hardway Inc., it was a lot more fun, just Mike and I having fun, you know, being those arsehole heels, helping put out kids, and it was fun. But at the same time, I missed training, and I missed, you know, working with people and developing, and it was that there's a lot in my history of wrestling through WA where I was training people like Ryan Eagles, and you know, sort of started down in Victoria, and worked his way to, you know, New South Wales and Canberra first, and then what he does now and sort of beyond that, and people like, you know, Gino, Mr. Juicy, but yeah, I missed all that, and when I started doing this role, it's sort of come flooding back, and I when I got better, this just turned, you know, we'd had so many big shows and so much success with the format that we were running, you know, like from a management point of view.
Yep.
Which a lot of people probably turn their nose up sometimes, and I've heard some criticism about how controlling we can be, and we're not super controlling, but we do have an idea and a plan about what we want to achieve, long term and short term. And, you know, it just seemed to be working really well. I was really enjoying myself. The roster was really responsive to it. And yeah, it just seemed to fit. And, you know, like I get my fix doing what I'm doing now. And even more so, you know, like than I was in the ring, you know, it was sort of very siloed and what I was doing. Now it's about the broader community and not just about, like the weekend we just had New Horizons, which for me was probably I don't walk away from shows happy. Like, like I'm not saying you have to sound like a douchebag, but, you know, you're always super critical of what you're involved in. But I walked away very happy because the crowd, it was the best crowd I've ever worked in front of. And I say worked in front of because I was a big part of that production.
Yep.
That crowd was amazing, you know, like it was almost like a perfect storm and a dream. It was like a dream. The show was, the boys and girls really just took it to another level where I didn't think that we could go. And it was an all-Australian card with you know, most importantly, it is our friends from EPW, from Rampage, from PWA, you know, from those promotions that we sort of united ourselves with over the past couple of years. We sort of, there's some very important people there to watch.
I've heard rumors, yes.
Yeah. And we sort of hit it out of the park. I mean, we, if anything happens or nothing happens, in any regard, a lot of people say, Australian wrestling's on the up, and it is. But I know, well, I was happy because hand on heart, we, as a collective group, not just MCW, as a representation of Australian wrestling, yep. A moment where it needed to be represented to a certain level, I think we did the absolute best that we could. And that's why I walked away happy, because I went, if things happen or things change, it sort of doesn't matter, because, this is what we work for. We did the best we could. And I felt the same after Okada show.
Yep.
The Okada show that we did in November. But it seems to keep happening, which is great. But, it's that, I guess where I'm going with this in a long-winded kind of way is the feeling I get from watching people develop and change and grow, have ideas, and we give people gimmicks too, we give them ideas and they go out there and make it their own. It's just, there's nothing like it for me. I'm so proud of Australian wrestling and particularly MCW roster. I get to spend a lot of time with those guys and girls for how they're coping with the pressure and how the scene's moving forward. And that really is getting more to me than what I was seeing out of the ring. So in a long-winded answer, that's pretty much the answer.
I do not so much in as much as you, but I do know exactly what you're talking about, because there was a time where I was training to be a wrestler, and it was something that was my dream, and I couldn't imagine doing that. I didn't want to do anything else. And then when I sort of realized that, well, I'm never going to be able to wrestle because I'm an old man and injuries and all that sort of jazz. Then moving into like booking and helping people with promos and stuff like that, when I saw the people on the stage or on the show doing something that I'd helped them with and it pulled off, it's the only thing I can imagine being close enough to the feeling of being an actual in the ring.
Yeah, like, you're kind of living vicariously through them, and almost like you get to live out your fantasies through other people. I mean, I look at people like, Stevie and Tome and, the people who are sort of just breaking into MCW and have got, some really hot stuff. Even Lockie, working. I remember going to Carlo's, just to shoot, he was having a tryout day. It was one of the first sort of classes of a new group of kids, and Lock Hendricks was there, and I remember working a heap with him in the ring, and he came up to me like later on and goes, it was the first time I've done that, and it was so great and everything, and it was like I remember that, and I remember, and I look at that kid now, and I'm just like, wow, it's just such a parallel.
Yeah,
it's just such a, we had a part to play in that, and talking to him and developing. But really, he, all credit to him. He's, the Locker Boy gimmick is 100% his. We had no real influence on what he does, other than, if he comes with an idea, we might say yes or no to certain bits and pieces. But
yeah,
that's fully him. Like, that is all credit to him. That is him. That is all him. We didn't think that it would work as well as it has, truth be told. So he's proven us wrong, and that alone, in itself is super gratifying to me, to watch that hunger and belief and see a kid like that who isn't the biggest person in the world.
Yeah.
Really take his passion and make it shine on another level.
And he really has that character is just an extra, like an evolution of the Lockie Hendricks from before. Cause when you first saw Lockie Hendricks, it was really like, sort of white meat baby face. I don't know where he's going to go after this whole tag team thing with Crackers. And then it sort of evolved into this Loverboy gimmick, which has really just taken another life to it, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's a thing, when when people, and I talk to guys and girls about this all the time, it's all about belief, you know? And, you know, people say to me, I just can't, I'm not a believer. And it's like, well, if you're not, you're never going to get that connection with fans, you know? I think Lockie, similar to like Davis Storm, even Dowie, you know, definitely Dowie as well, you know, has a supreme, all of those three people, Cracker Jack, that they're polarizing because they have a supreme belief in their character.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of it's an extension of them to a degree, you know, and, you know, it's them, you know, the old adage, it's them turned up to 100, but they have the cadence and the delivery ability and the believability in what they're trying to put across.
Mm-hmm.
That people are just captivated by what they say, you know. It's gift. That's, you know, and sometimes it's, you know, in the case of Dowie, I always used to say to people, you know, I've been close to Dowie for a long time since he was a kid. And, you know, it's sometimes the most, you know, I don't want to say he's a damaged individual, but he's been through some stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are the most brilliant when it comes to creating things and captivating people because they've got that pit that they can draw from. And to display that human emotion, you know, that's raw, and people will just connect to it, good or bad, they'll connect to it. And yeah, he's one of those performers, one of those special performers that has that real believability in what he does. We've got a lot of them at the moment. We're very fortunate, and a lot of them are really doing their own thing, and we're just sort of steering the ship a little bit and giving them the platform. Very fortunate to have the roster we have right now. It's very Victorian wrestling was in trouble a while ago, and, you know, after a very long period of shining, being the shining star of Australian wrestling. But now it's, you know, it's in a good place, so couldn't be happier for them and for us.
Yeah, when I saw you on that Friday night, I recognized that look, that show night stress look that that I had or have on most shows. And I'm like, oh, this must be what I look like every month. But it's just, it was amazing. It was a really, really strong, really tight show where there wasn't really, and I was talking about this to a few guys, there wasn't really one like down part of that show. When you're booking sort of angles and storylines lengthwise, because you would have, you'd also, you'd have the blessing of being able to get your New Japan stars over, but how do you work that so it works into your say structure of your storylines? Because they would have to in some ways interfere when you're like, oh, we're going to do this on this month, oh shit, we can get X wrestler X, so we're gonna have to change that and drag it out. How it's obviously a blessing, but how much further, how far ahead do you plan your angles and stuff there?
Chris is a very meticulous storyteller, and I mean that in every sense of the word. People who know him know that he, you know, some stuff, like in all wrestling, is shoot from the hip. You know, there's always going to be a bit of shoot from the hip.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we'll get to international talent in a moment, how that sort of works and doesn't work sometimes, and how it sort of happens and things fall into your lap, and you know, you got to sink or swim. You know, for the most part, you know, three or four or five angles a year Chris will have planned out for 12 months. You know, we'll know where we're going to go with everything, and that the course of it will change too, based on reactions and things and whatever people say and do, and you know, how we feel that it's going or what happened, you know, what's happening. But really, like, ultimately, you know, the majority of the main stories that you'll see in front of you have a long-term plan that potentially is a 12-month plan, which is stepped out. You know, we have a pretty regular meetings. You know, a lot of my life is consumed by work and wrestling in every sense of the word.
Yep.
But you asked me, like, when I could do this, and, like, I had to pick a time when my wife was going to do something, so I could sort of had a couple of hours, because I feel guilty about not spending enough time with her.
Yeah.
So, you know, and every other day it's sort of training and everything, but yeah, like, I guess my point is, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about these things, but once a year we get together and plan the year to follow. And as we go, if you get thrown in the way, I don't want to like him having the access to the people we have, you know, particularly people like Will, who we're very fortunate is a big proponent for MCW and for a lot of independent wrestling around the world, and Australia particularly, and New Zealand. I saw a clip today where he mentioned us on a New Japan promo about the Never Open Weight Championship, saying, you know, the N stands for new blood, and new blood like MCW, like, and that's, you know, I mean, that the guy has to do that. You know, he really believes, you know, he's a strong creative, he knows what he likes. He's, you know, and yeah, I won't lie, him and Chris have butted heads, you know, several times. But there's that mutual respect there, because he understands that we want the best and he wants the best. And, you know, we always come back on the same page in the end. And he is he loves wrestling. You know, he loves passion, and he, you know, he was a blessing in disguise to us, as well as obviously Okar. I mean, what a moment that was. You know, one of my best moments in wrestling was when that video dropped at Essendon, and I got and we didn't tell the roster, and just I was standing downstairs where I normally stand, because I want to feel the crowd, and I sort of sit in the corner, and with Chris and I sort of sit together sometimes and run back and forth between there and Gorilla. And I just watched sort of this, the balcony area where they all sit, and that everyone was just freaking out. And it was just a joyous occasion. Everyone in the room was just a complete and utter mark. And it was just, and that penny dropped, and you know, it was just so surreal. Surreal. Those things sort of get dropped on you, and particularly Okada did. Having to run at Thornbury was sort of the only option we had, and a lot of people were upset about it. But it was either that or he doesn't come. So, you know, we took the bullet and we ran with it, and we sort of had to change things to make it work. We have a saying, you know, MCW booking, and it's a lot of the time there's two, actually. Mikey and I used to always say, fake it until you make it. And we truly do that in every sense of the word. We still do book meetings in we used to book meetings in Knox City Schnitz, and we still kind of do now. We book shows there. And, you know, the other ones, we panel beat, man. We just panel beat everything. You know, we might spend the whole upcoming month on a card, and I don't like it, let's move this here, up until, which is very frustrating for some of the people, we don't release cards until day of the show sometimes to people, because we're still playing with it the night before.
Yeah.
We're still changing order. We're still changing matches. We're still, you know, we're still doing it. And it's been a lot of trial and error. It's no perfect, you know, sometimes you get it right and sometimes you get it wrong. But the more we've done it, the more we've, because there's an art. There's an art to putting a show together.
Yep.
There's an art to keeping times. There's an art to senses. You know, our run sheets are very comprehensive. And it's a lot of trial and error, a lot of panel beating, and a lot of fortunate situations that we have great talent to be able to portray those stories and even give us what we want. And I think, you know, sort of touching on what you're saying, a lot of it comes down to that too, you know, that control, you know, that we have. It's really just narrative, giving guys and girls narrative before they go out and saying, this is what we need to achieve from this, this is why, and this is where we're going.
Yeah,
and then
you want to give them a skeleton that they can flesh out, don't you?
Yes, and you've got this long, and this is, you know, this is why, and get them invested into the story and make them understand what it means.
Yeah,
you know, not only just for them, but for their opponent, or for the promotion, or for the Australian wrestling, and then go, okay, I understand what's where we're going to go, and I understand what my job is tonight in this position. And they know now, you know, they've seen the fruits enough to know now that if they do that, you know, we hit the ball out of the park together. You know, it's no good doing it individually. You know, it's the promotion is successful and everyone in it is successful. And, you know, fortunately enough, in this modern digital world, we have a lot of eyes that can see our products in the country. So we've got to make sure that, you know, we're portraying the promotion as well as we're portraying the wrestlers and the talent and all the other performers and everyone that puts it together. We're portraying them in the highest regard, so that everyone wins. Yeah.
Yeah, if there's one, thing I hate, and that's speaking as when I'm out there managing, when I manage Jake Nova, is when I go out there and say, "Oh, we should do a promo at the end of the match." Is that cool? Where are we going? So I can sort of like, "Oh, I'm not too sure, but just say something that'll get." Well, that doesn't help me. Let me know where we're going, and I can flesh that out.
You know, maybe they don't know. You know, like a lot of people don't know, and you know, it's and that's, you know.
But you usually know enough that you can give someone a guideline. Like, we're thinking about going this way, so you can lean it towards. Okay, cool.
Yeah, well, I think some other people don't, and they don't really know, and you know, and that's part of the issue. You know, that's part of the issue. It's, you know, we kind of made a decision, you know, and that's fine. People do what they want to do and how they want to approach it. And, you know, I know that we made a decision that we were going to have a fair crack at this. When I came in with Chris, Mikey and myself, a few people that help us now, you know, Chris created Mikey's to promote it. You know, he's got some big balls. Like, a lot of people don't know Mikey on the business level, but that kid, and I'll say that because he's younger than me, and I remember him when he was a kid. But no, that guy has got some big balls. He takes chances, and he was smart enough to use people that know what they're doing, probably better than most people in the industry. And there's obviously a lot of people within our industry that know a lot of stuff. I guess, you know, I'm not trying to put myself over or Chris, but you know, we've got a good handle on what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, well, you've got the runs on the board too. I mean, geez.
Yeah, well, I think so by now. You know, like, I guess, yeah, he was smart enough, and this is where some, and, you know, we talked about this before you started taping, but this is where some promoters need to invest in their business, and sometimes that takes admitting that they don't know everything and getting some help. If they want to truly succeed, it can take that. So they can also learn. I mean, I'm sure I've learned a lot off Mikey, because I'm a very structured person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can be very haphazard, and sometimes, you know, it really pays off because he's got those people watching his back. So as a unit, you know, him, myself, and Chris, very different personalities, but as a unit, we've kind of got everything covered.
Yeah.
And then you add in, you know, Joel Bateman and Hawko and Rhiannon, you know, all very good in their own right at what they do. You know, Joel with sort of front of house and merch, and Hawko with, you know, the crew and the logistics side of it, and Rhi with socials. I mean, Rhi's, a lot of people wouldn't hire a social media, you know, person for their promotion, but Rhi has exponentially grown our social media footprint, and it really is the crux of MCW. We've always been the best at, you know, videos and also socials, and we continue to pave the way, I think, in that regard in a lot of ways, you know. And then we're bringing our wrestling up to speed with that, you know, that was always, you know, and I don't mind saying it was the weaker link, but now it seems that we're all sort of evened ourselves out and firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, and that's one thing I will say, like, from afar, that's probably the thing I admire most about Mikey, is that he does, like, when he gives somebody a job, he trusts them to do it and doesn't, like, constantly micromanage that, because he has faith in that the person he's picked is going to be able to do the job he wants them to.
Yeah, you know, and that's good. I mean, with me, it's definitely the case. You know, with Academy, and, you know, him and I have a partnership in that place, you know, it's financially. And he trusts, he's let me do it the way that I think it needs to be done. We have a Dowie and Cracker Jack, and we've got some amazing trainers. You know, it's not definitely all about me. It's an MCW product with an MCW mentality, with a set of values and everything behind it. And it's got very much to do with Dowie and Cracker Jack and Chris. And they've got, and all those guys have got, and girls that are coming down, have got access to all those guys and the roster.
Yeah.
You know, and shows and just the sort of the full package, you know. I can attest to that. He has completely trusted me. And look, I think it's sort of a double-edged sword. He doesn't really have a choice, because if he was to do everything that needs to be done, he would be able to do it right now. You know, back in the day, maybe. But now it's such a big, major scale operation that, you know, we've got to run. A lot of our businesses run, you know, on Slack. I don't know if you're familiar with that sort of business management tool. It's like a communication tool online, and we have all different subsections for all sides of the business, and we talk about different things. And you'd be surprised how stupidly corporate it's become. And, you know, like, but honestly, it has been the complete – the complete story of our success. It really, really has. It's just a bunch of people understanding what the goal is and really work for a common goal. And, you know, like, I know that's a sort of a pipe dream in wrestling, but, you know, right now it's working fine. It's working great. And, you know, we don't plan on stopping anytime soon. And, you know, it's hard to trust people, but yeah, he's got, that's why I say he's got big balls, because he really does just throw all the balls in one or two courts and walks away and goes, righto, boys and girls, get on with it, you know. And, you know, I couldn't do it. I'd have to micromanage everybody. It's just the way I am. But he all power to him. He's done it. And obviously Chris, you know, since he's come along with the promotion, it's just, there's a lot more depth to what we do outside the ring and inside the ring, with you know, his stories and the way he likes to put things across, and then obviously with me, there's, you know, a bit of respect and control with the boys and girls about what they're doing, and it's just sort of, you know, everyone's got to be produced, you know, everyone, and I think we've got a good thing going in that structure. It's important. So to your point, yeah, I think people need to invest in other people. People's talents in order to enhance their own product if they really want it to succeed.
Yeah. And tell me about MCW Academy, because you've been around for a while now before opening the academy. What was the decision to open that?
It was a couple of years in the making. I remember when I was training people a long time ago, back when PWA Melbourne was running for Lobo. And when he wanted to pack shop, he asked me if I wanted to take it, and I was like, no way, you know, like I was a kid, and I you know, I was like, there's no way I'm going to do it. So I sort of, but there was a part of my mind that was like, well, I really want to, you know. I think I could, but, you know, I'm not ready for that. So, you know, as things have gone along, a couple of years ago, Mike and I started talking about this, because when him and I first started talking originally, way back, one of the biggest, we used to talk about, like, what's the weaknesses of the promotion. One of the things that I used to always say was, you've never built your own stars, you've never built your own guys, you know, like, you're bringing people that are already made, like your Matt Silvers, like your Brooksies, you know, already. I mean, Brooksie's a little bit different, you know, but Silver sort of already had a name, he was already really good, and we sort of brought in people and sort of used them to enhance what we had and sort of built the promotion around them, which is fine. But at some point, you've got to, in order to create like a lineage or some kind of historical landmark, you've got to start to manufacture your own style and brand and really make an impact as a promotion, you know, become a family, create a culture. You know, we sort of come out of that burning ashes of when PWA went away and a lot of those sort of promotions that were around that time that were sort of those big promotions in Victoria sort of died off a little. It was sort of a pretty dog-eat-dog, roguey type, you know, journeyman place in Victoria for a long time. Yeah. And it's sort of the kids who were coming through didn't really live through that camaraderie and culture sort of you really need to thrive. Like, you know, like APW has, you know, just a strong cultural influence on their guys and you know, not, you know, even places like, you know, even RCW, where you come from, yep, really strong team effort, you know, and there's goods and bads with all those situations, you know, like you can get some bad stuff out of that and some good stuff. Ultimately, you're working towards a common goal and you have a group of people that love the brand, love those letters, you know, they bleed those letters, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we've always lacked that. So 2 years ago when we started talking, I started to draw up a plan, including like a budget and a profit and loss sheet and, you know, all those types of things. I sort of learned a lot of that in the stuff that I do for my normal job, and was just waiting for the right time. A few discussions with a bunch of people on the roster. One of my tall 6'5" friends that I know that currently lives in Florida.
Oh, yes.
And I were going to do something together. didn't eventuate because he jumped ship, which is fine.
Living that life.
Living the life, living the trophy life. but Mikey and I had a discussion, you know, probably at the start of the year, and I said to him, right, we're going to do this. I think it's the right time. Like, I feel like it's people are crying for it. There's probably a demand there. I feel like we're in a good position as a business, and we need to. And we talked about at the start of the year a couple of things. We talked about in our sort of planning meetings for MCW. We talked about fan engagement was something that was really important to us, building that cultural fan base, not just, you know, just not the 20 people, but really a strong cultural fan base that really feels part of our business. It's really important to us to engage them all.
Yep.
And the other one was with talent, really making them feel like they're home or to go. You know, and you know, obviously an academy or a school is a great place to start. You know, we don't have that, but it's a great place to really cement that in. So when we had that talk, we decided to throw the money down and go to a commercial lease and find a place, and we're happy to find a wanted to do it in the North because it was an old staple of wrestling in Victoria. It's sort of when, you know, back in Chris's day when Jimmy Mirab used to run up that way, it was pretty popular, and there hasn't been any wrestling in that direction for a long time. Plus, it's far enough away from the other schools that we're sort of not competing with each other too much.
Yeah.
You know, because I've got respect for George Julian and for Carlo for what they do. You know, the worst thing I could have done is opened up right next door to one of them. It's stupid. It's just pointless. So we're up in the North, and we get a new place, and yeah, it's been going great. We, you know, a big part of it is, again, you know, with that culture in mind, that we've even written down a set of values that we want to live to. Everyone goes through, you know, an intake session like most places, but we have a sort of 10-minute PowerPoint presentation that explains what we expect from everyone and what standard we want them to hold us to. And then building that feedback loop, like we're talking about, you know, post recording,
yep,
making it understand that they can come forward and talk to us, and tell us what they're feeling and thinking, so we can, you know, they're paying money to be there, so we want to make sure that, you know, A, we're sticking true to wrestling, yeah, sure, and we're doing the right thing by wrestling, we're not making it easy, and we're, you know, doing all the right things, but at the same time, they've got to be enjoying the process and not being victimized and, you know, whatever, you know, they've got to feel comfortable. So, you know, a big part of that routine of that place is the, you know, we're not trying to build good wrestlers. We're trying to have good people that are good wrestlers.
Yeah. So
the business has longevity and the people in it are not assholes. And they've
still got that respect that we've been taught, sort of thing.
Yep. And their understanding of the right way to do things, and there's no shortcuts. And they hold them, you know, one real big thing we talk about is personal accountability, you know, and it's, I feel like it's a massive thing within the world right now. We're always trying to, like, a lot of people are trying to blame other people for their problems. And the one thing I say to them is, you know, you can't change other people, you can change yourself. So always look, don't talk about things, but always look first and go, what can I do to change the situation? Because in wrestling, no one's going to change anything for you. You figure out how you're going to change it. You know, how you're going to manifest what you see for you and manifest it into reality. So have accountability for what you do. If you're cheating or you don't have that accountability, the only person you're hurting is yourself. So, yeah, a lot of those values we talk about quite extensively. So we don't just wrestle. We talk about a lot of those things and how they relate to the psychology of wrestling. And yeah, I think offer a product at the academy that maybe a lot of people don't offer, with a bit of insight. And also we have a lot of important visitors at times. We had Buddy pop down home. You know, he's an old MCW boy, old PCW kid that I remember when he started. And he came down the other day. We've had Naito there. We've had, you know, we've had lots of Australian wrestlers, importantly as well. Like, you know, Robbie Eagles came down and did a seminar. And, you know, it's a great thing for those guys to be able to share their knowledge with the next generation and also earn some money, rightly so, that, you know, that they come down and they earn some money while they're here wrestling and get to share that knowledge with up-and-coming kids, you know. I mean, and, you know, it's the same fee for internationals that it is at the moment for Australian wrestlers because, you know, guys like Robbie, you know, all the guys that we have come down and share stuff, Will, you know, they're all, it doesn't matter where they come from, they are the best of the best. And, I mean, people are starting to notice Robbie now. He's in the firing squad. You know, that's, couldn't be happier for the kid. I mean, He's a great guy, really. Just a great wrestler and just a great human.
Yeah, good person.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, it's all about that. It's all about culture and it's all about offering something that I think, you know, can build, you know, if we truly are what we claim to be, you know, if we're the best promotion, the biggest promotion in the country, we have to believe that. Some people might scoff at that and that's fine, but we have to believe that if we're in it. Truly are, then we have like a responsibility to ensure that everything we're doing is working for the betterment of wrestling in this country. So if we're not hitting every avenue and putting good people in and building sustainability for the future, if we're not doing that, then we're not really living what we say we are. So, you know, part of that was putting ourselves accountable and going, we're going to slap this money down and we're going to do this because, you know, we're not doing it and we're the best. We should have a place where we're cultivating, you know, the business for the future.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, Jay, thank you so much for coming on, man. I want to have you on again later on and we'll talk about more things, but we've just about hit our time. For people that want to follow, like, the MCW Academy and all that, how can they do that? Just so if they want to come along and maybe want to train, how can they do that, mate?
Look, there's a lot of information on the website. We don't have website for the academy, which we want to kind of run it all through the same socials, but the easiest thing to do, we're probably going to have another intake probably towards the end of the year, but all they've got to do is just email mcwacademy@icloud.com and we'll send an information pack and an application. They can submit their application and hopefully they're lucky enough to get through and they can come to a initial induction session and be on their way. You know, if that's really the only way for everybody.
Beautiful. And before we do go, I've got to say, you are probably one of my favourite moments on Trophy Life. So, very.
Which moment?
Oh, like no, any time that any time you have a part on it, because it's usually You telling him to wake up and that sort of thing.
It's kind of like. I will say that it's a shoot. Like, it really is. Like, it's not really not that much of an asshole. I will admit, a lot of people. Yeah, it really is. It's kind of a shoot. It was just like he just said to me, and I want you to just do what we normally do. just hyper, you know, make it crazier. And we did. And no, I appreciate that feedback. It was fun. It was a bit nerve wracking. He's got a pretty tight script and it was many weekends of just shooting stuff from in correspondence. And it was a good fun to do it. And, you know, like a lot of people probably don't know, or they may know, but you know, Alex Sexton's one of my best friends in the business. And, just, you know, he was the best man at my wedding. he's a great guy. And you know, like I wish him all the success over there. I can't wait to see what he does next. He's again living through people like him, and Brooksy is another great friend of mine. And talking to people, you know, it's quite regular. I'll drive to work, and someone will ring me when they're in the UK or whatever at 6 a.m, and I'll talk to them on the way to work and on FaceTime. And you know, it's great. It's just living through all these guys and sharing their experiences, getting to be a part of it. You know, talking to Davis Storm, talking to Robbie, it's a great time to be in Australian wrestling. Like, I mean, I'm sure you can attest to that too.
Yeah.
As much as it's a great time to be a fan, this is a height. We are in uncharted waters. This is a height that we've never reached in our era. I mean, we could even argue, had the conversation with an old timer, we can even argue that it wasn't even as big for Australian wrestlers back in the 70s, 60s, you know, they were jobbers. It really is, we're taken seriously now. And I mean, it's a great time. If you're breaking in, oh, it's the best time you could ever imagine to break into the business.
Exactly. If you want it hard enough, yeah.
It's I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's so accessible. And you know, it's just, I'm so excited about the future. I just want to ride this wave until it crashes. I mean, that's pretty much the story. It's just, let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
And you know, like it's a great time.
Yeah, and if you are living in Melbourne and you haven't been to an MCW show, I don't know what to tell you, because that was the first one I've been to at Thornbury Theatre. I think I went to one out at Tullamarine. This was a couple of years ago. Yeah. But the Thornbury Theatre, the experience there was amazing. That crowd was unbelievable. And the show was top-notch. It was, I was mentioning it to a couple of the guys that I came down with. That whole weekend being the MCW and then the WWE later on, it's like I got what I wanted out of wrestling at the MCW show, and then the WWE, yep, I got to see the stars. You know what, yep, I mean? So for me, it was a perfect weekend for wrestling.
It's kind of like I said, it was like a dream, man. That's what we planned, and it couldn't have gone any better for us. And obviously, the fans. And people come to see, or people within the business that were there, it was obviously, they felt residuals of that too. It was just, yeah, it was a weekend that I'll never forget. It was a tough weekend with Wrestle Rock, because we now promote Wrestle Rock as well as an MCW product.
Yeah.
You know, covertly, because we don't want to get tarred with the Wrestle Rock brush. I'd love them. But yeah, it was like a little mania weekend for Melbourne. And, you know, it's, again, Mikey booked that date well before we knew that they were coming, and he's put his balls on the line, and it's fake it till you make it. It paid off. You
know, it really did.
So yeah, appreciate that, man. It's good. It was good to see you too.
Yeah, it was good to see you. Jay Andrews, thank you very much for joining me, mate.
No worries, man. No, not a problem. Thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it.
If you've been listening to the show, then you know I travelled down to Melbourne for the whole WWE Super Smackdown weekend. Super Showdown weekend. And I was full of piss and vinegar that I was going to grab some guys and do heaps of interviews for the podcast. And then I actually got to the Thornbury Theatre for MCW, and then something happened. Met up with some old friends, Cremator, Katie Trey, all these guys. I had some drinks, and all of a sudden I was a fan again, and I just sat down to watch the show. It was amazing. You see, most shows I work on, or I'm working on, I answer hundreds of questions, I'm preparing for the match that I'm participating in, I'm trying to help guys with their matches. I never actually watch the matches until the next day when I get back the hard cam and I check out what happened on the show. I think too often everyone wants to watch these shows with a critical eye, and every man and his dog wants to be a podcaster nowadays and to get the scoop and post on the inters, so much so that they don't even get to really enjoy the show. Hell, I did it for the first few matches at MCW until that dawned on me myself. Wrestling is fun and entertaining, and a great night you can spend catching up with your mates. People make it hard on themselves to enjoy by wanting to be the first to comment on stuff. Just relax and enjoy the show, people. Now that's it for my views from the East. I'm Todd Eastman. That's my opinion, and you're all entitled to it. It's now time to find out where the action is around the country. And in New South Wales, Suplex Wrestling has Saturday night at the Hexham Bowling Club. Light Heavyweight Championship will be decided in a Rumble match. Hit their Facebook up for ticket details on that one. Get down to the Hexham Bowling Club and support a new promotion in New South Wales. In Victoria, Saturday night, PCW have Ignition at the PCW Arena. Tickets for that one are at pcw.com.au. And in WA is an action-packed weekend. On Friday, Schwa presents Forever at the Creator Wrestler Workshop in Maddington, Western Australia. Craven defends his title against Felix Young. Get your tickets there at schwawrestling.com.au. That's SHWA wrestling.com.au. NHPW has Fall From Grace October the 13th at the Gate One Theatre, Claremont Showgrounds. Art of Fighting Championship is on the line. Aaron O'Malley versus the Don Michael Morleone. I don't know why I keep getting that wrong. Tickets for that one are at showtickets.com.au. And also on October the 13th, AAW is at the Bald Divas Rec Center. I really should find out how to say these words, but never been a strong point of mine. The Bald Divas Rec Center. Tickets for that one are at www.aawperth.com. In Adelaide, my alma mater, let's just say Riot City Wrestling, Saturday, October the 13th. It's the Riot City Rumble with the RCW title being on the line in the main event. World-class Chris Basso against the ledge himself, Adam Brooks. Get out and see that one. Anytime these two step in the ring, it is a seven-star classic. I'm just going to put it out there like that. Not to mention the Riot City Rumble itself. And also on the card, EPW champion Gavin McGavin is taking on Davey Green, one of the best up-and-coming young wrestlers in the country. Get your tickets for that one from their Facebook page. And nothing going on in Queensland this weekend, so that wraps it up for where the action is this weekend. It's about that time again, guys. Once again, big thanks to my guest, Robbie Eagles, for coming on, and also Jay Andrews, the main guest for the episode. I understand now, listening back to it, that the connection wasn't all that good with Jay. I'm going to try and get him back on again later on so we can talk more about the stuff we did talk about. But the content of what was in that interview for me was just amazing. I really do enjoy hearing about the inner workings of promotions, especially ones that are as successful as what MCW is. And if you are a promoter out there, if you're someone who is a wrestling geek for behind the scenes, much like I am, you would have found that interview really, really interesting. And I do want to get him back on so we can talk about more things to do with wrestling in this country. If you haven't already, guys, though, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free and you can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show and spread the word. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search Wrestle Radio Australia. And on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU or me personally at Beast Eastman. Don't forget, also, we have our Wrestle Radio Australia shirts up at Redbubble. Just go to redbubble.com and in the search bar type in Wrestle Radio Australia, and they should all pop up there. Any profits made for that one going through till the end of November will be in supporting, well, the profits will be going to the charities Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, two charities that that I really do believe in, that are helping men's health issues. We say it every episode, and I'm going to keep saying it until the cows come home. We lose 6.4 men a week to suicide in this country, and it's something that Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life are really trying to change, and it's something that we here at Wrestle Radio Australia really support in trying to change. It's why we did the podcast not too long ago with Gino Gambino, Wolfdog, and Big Brody Marshall, and it's a podcast that is pretty much my favorite one that I've done so far, probably the most important podcast that we have ever recorded on this channel, and I'm so very proud of it, and I'm so proud of the effect that it seems to have had on the people that listen to the show. So in that vein, anything we make from that through to the end of November on the Redbubble site will be going to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life. So get out there, buy the shirt, support the show, but not only that, support a really good cause in men's health. Now, normally we would do and send it home with Todd's Terrible Wrestling Songs. I've decided to change that up because I want to do more to show you the talent that is out there around the country. So I'm going to call this Promo Land. And to send us out with Promo Land, it's a promo that Matty Wahlberg did not too long ago. And Matty Wahlberg is possibly one of my favorite wrestlers. I've never actually seen wrestle. Just the gimmick and the promos I've seen him do, I'm really a big fan of his work. And to send it home, this is a promo he did in ring. I believe he cut it on a Triple M DJ who happens to be the color commentator on one of the shows there. Anyway, just listen to the promo, hear the fire, hear the heat he gets behind it, and we'll see you next time right here on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Some of you might have seen recently I was in the Triple M studios and things kind of escalated and PWA wants me to come out here and apologize tonight. I did the wrong thing, so to PWA, to Robbie and Madison Eagles, to all of the fans of PWA and to Rose, from the bottom of my heart, you can kiss my f***ing ass. You Augustus Gloop looking mother f***er. your job better than you can. You look like Ed Sheeran ate Ed Sheeran. And before anyone says anything about body shaming, I am body shaming because I look like this and you look like that. So the next time you want to get behind your keyboard, how about you think about this? If you ever say anything like that to my face, I will slap the shit out of you.